And in what's being called an unprecedented move for a president-elect, Donald Trump began his thank you tour in Cincinnati last night, thanking his supporters. He spoke about building an inclusive society, but also a wall. He condemned bigotry and the media, and in what felt like a break with the tradition, dissed the loser in the race.
I'm going to discuss our action plan to make America great again. We're going to discuss. Although we did have a lot of fun fighting Hillary, didn't we? Yeah. Right?
Trump supporters yelling, "Lock her up."
Well, raw emotions about the election were also on display yesterday when Trump and Clinton campaign leaders met at a forum at Harvard University. Here's an exchange between Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway and Clinton communications director Jennifer Palmieri, who accused the Trump campaign of providing a platform for white supremacists.
I would rather lose than win the way you guys did.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes. No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
No, that's very clear today. No, you wouldn't, respectfully.
Absolutely.
Rather, I'm sorry. So, how exactly did we win? No, go for it, Jen. How exactly did we win? I'd like to know, because I've sacrificed the last 4 months of my life to do it. Excuse me.
Time for our Friday roundtable with Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
And Julie Mason is with us, who hosts the Press Pool on Sirius XM. Hi, Julie.
Greetings.
And what about that moment last night with Kellyanne Conway and Jennifer Palmieri, Julie?
Boy, we are a long way from being unified. What was so extraordinary about that was that here in D.C., we're so used to these pros being really unemotional, even when they lose. I mean, this is their work, and they don't publicly express these kinds of strong feelings about it. But for the Clinton team, losing to Donald Trump was not like losing to Mitt Romney or to John McCain, because they do believe deeply that he is unqualified to be president. So it's not just losing. It's losing and being bewildered by the results in a way that we've never seen before.
Well, Jesse Holland, also what we didn't hear in that sound was that Jennifer Palmieri, the Clinton operative, did say that the Trump campaign became, you know, used platforms for white supremacists. I mean, she threw that gauntlet down, and this forum happens every 4 years. I've never heard that kind of an exchange.
Yeah, it seems like the old rules are gone for everything, not only for the presidential election, but including how politicals are going to treat each other after the presidential election. It seems like
Do you think it was fair, a fair accusation? Because Steve Bannon, who's now Donald Trump's chief strategist, did say that his former news agency, Breitbart News, was a platform for the alt-right.
Well, I mean, obviously that the Clinton people think it's a valid argument, and we've seen the embrace of the Trump campaign by a lot of white nationalist groups, including David Duke. So that's not a big stretch to make, to say that white supremacists were on board with what the Trump campaign was saying. But normally after an election, people sort of let things go. At least the professional people let things go. It doesn't sound like that's happening this time.
Yeah, right.
What do you make, Julie, of what's going on with Trump's cabinet? He's named a few people this week: Steven Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary, Wilbur Ross as Commerce Secretary, two Wall Street guys with a lot of money, and also recently retired General James Mattis as Defense Secretary, somebody who has a military background, which is going to need a waiver from Congress because typically we have civilians at the top of the Pentagon.
Right. Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah.
Washington is in stitches. Everybody loves that guy. Very colorful. Can't wait to see. Here's the thing about these cabinet picks, though, is I'm refusing to get emotionally involved until they get confirmed. Because if history has taught us anything, is that these candidates or these presidents-elect make a big splash with their cabinet picks and something always goes wrong.
You think something's going to go wrong with one of these?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Not because there's anything inherently wrong with them, but look at Tom Daschle, right? He was a slam dunk and he didn't make the cabinet. So you just never know. It's going to be a tax problem or some nanny with an immigration problem or something like that. Something always comes up. But I have to say, the establishment is feeling reassured. A lot hinges on who he picks for State Department.
Oh, yeah. And what about that? I mean, this has just become such an awkward beauty pageant.
I would hate to see the swimsuit competition.
Yeah. Well,
right. They've already gone through the frog leg eating contest.
Yes,
that John
Jesse, weigh in on that.
Well, you know, it, it, is going to look bad for everyone he doesn't pick for that position. He's sort of parading these people around the public as saying, oh, look at this. Here's Mr. New Jersey. Now Mr. New York. I mean, it's going to be extremely embarrassing for the people he doesn't pick now that they've been put out in the public and he's been parading them around like they're beauty pageant contestants.
Well, let's listen.
So we've never seen anything like this before.
Let's listen to the contestant from Utah, Mitt Romney, after dining with Donald Trump. Jeremy mentioned the frog legs this week.
He did something I tried to do and was unsuccessful in accomplishing. He won the general election. And he continues with a message of inclusion and bringing people together. And his vision is something which obviously connected with the American people in a very powerful way.
Well, Julie, this is particularly head-spinning because Mitt Romney had been such a vocal critic of Donald Trump. And, you know, there's still speculation that this is all about setting up Mitt Romney for some sort of payback.
It's really hard to figure this one out because obviously Mitt Romney doesn't need the work, right? And he also doesn't need the hassle. A lot is made about his zeal for public service and how that, you know, that could be fueling a lot of this. But it's hard to understand why, why someone with his credentials, his background and his long service in public life would want to take on this kind of a problem.
Jesse, what do you make of this recount situation? Because it's ongoing. It hasn't started in some places, but Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, where the numbers are pretty close, but probably a little too far apart for a recount to change things, or at least that's the expectation. But the Trump team is trying to stop at least some of these recounts from happening. Why are they so worried?
Well, I mean, no one wants to take a chance that something untoward has happened with them. No one actually wants to believe what then-candidate Trump said, that the election could be rigged, and find out, whoops, maybe there was a mistake. Maybe there were votes that weren't counted. The Trump campaign doesn't want that. But it's highly unlikely that any recount is going to change anything that we know about the election so far, that Trump got the most electoral college votes, Clinton got the most in the popular vote. Nothing's going to change that. But maybe this will provide some catharsis for some Democrats and independent party voters who still don't want to believe that President-elect Trump won. Maybe this is something that'll make them feel better once they see every vote has been counted and Trump still won the electoral college vote.
Yeah. I want to ask you both about the conflicts of interest and Trump's business holdings. And now, he, as Jeremy mentioned, you know, this, you know, he's got one of the wealthiest cabinet, at least in nominations ever in American history. These calls for people to divest of their business because of conflict of interest. The Boston Globe had an interesting piece today about a soon-to-expire visa program that provides a green card to wealthy foreign investors, many of them from China. So, for instance, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has used this to finance some of the real estate he's developing. Literally, if someone from China invests $500,000 in a Trump building, which they are, they get a green card. That is selling green cards. And it is in direct opposition to Trump's language on the campaign trail about limiting the people who come to this country.
Yeah, he's supposedly having a press conference on December 15 to detail how he's going to take himself completely out of his own business to focus on running the country. But there are no details on that as yet. And part of the problem is who's going to provide oversight of this incoming president and his cabinet? Republicans in Congress? I don't think so. It's going to be left to the press to do it. And, you know, you heard him last night talking about the dishonest media. He's done his best. Both of the candidates have done their best to discredit the news media. So who are you going to call?
Andrew Ross Sorkin in The Times has actually written an open letter to Trump suggesting a corporate monitors. You know, these are independent people who know everything that's going on in your company.
But why would a president-elect Trump do that?
Yeah.
When
so
he's going to pay for that.
Now, when he now can, he can actually keep going exactly the way he is. And who's going, like Julie said, who, the Republicans in Congress are going to provide the oversight? Why would he do something like that? Now, one of the things we have to keep in mind, and we've seen this repeatedly, and this has been also said repeatedly, during the campaign, the press took Trump seriously but not literally. I mean, the press took Trump literally but not seriously, but his campaigners, the people who voted for him, took him seriously but not literally. all of the campaign promises he made, he's shown that he's flexible on pretty much all of them. So why would we then agree to take him seriously when he says, you know, I'm going to divest myself of my business interests? He can do it if he wants to, but if he decides not to, who's going to provide the oversight of it?
Let me put you both on the spot for just a second here. We don't know what's coming next week in terms of Secretary of State, but your guess, Julie, who's it going to be?
Oh, for Secretary of State?
Yeah.
Corker.
Corker and Jesse?
I actually have to agree with her. I think Bob Corker.
I hear there's a lot of groundswell on Capitol Hill for that choice.
Las Vegas is listening in.
Are they betting on this? Jesse Holland, who covers politics for the Associated Press, and Julie Mason, host of The Press Pool on Sirius XM. Great to have you both, as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.